In ancient Rome, there was a formal ceremony to welcome the arrival of the emperor into a city. The people would all come together and form a procession and go out to meet the emperor and welcome him with great festivity into the city. The Latin name for that ceremony is Adventus, which is where our English word Advent comes from. Advent is a season marking the arrival of Jesus, his historical arrival that we will celebrate in a few weeks at Christmas time, his majestic arrival, which will happen at the end of time when he comes back as judge of the living and the dead, and also his arrival in mystery, how he comes to us every single day, and how he comes to us especially in the celebration of the sacraments. Last Sunday, we began our homily series, Life is Messy, reflecting on the fact that with all that's happening in our lives, this call of Advent can sometimes get lost. That because of the messiness of life, we can't worry about the arrival of Jesus. Certainly not at the end of time, because that seems so far away from us, we can't really conceptualize it. How can I worry about his arrival right now? I've got all this going on in my life. And we think that somehow God is distant from all of that, that he's distant from the messes that we have in our lives. And there's, you know, so many of them. There's financial problems that cause a mess in our lives. Maybe divorce or substance abuse. Perhaps you're suffering with grief this year. And there's so much confusion out there, isn't there, about who we are, our meaning and purpose of life, what gender is, what sexuality is. All of these messes happen in our lives because of choices that we make, and even choices that other people make affect our lives. And Jesus warned us in the gospel last weekend. He said, don't let the anxieties of daily life make you drowsy, make your heart drowsy. These anxieties that he speaks about in the gospel are our messes. They're the things that we worry about, the things that claim our attention. But it's in those messes, in that anxiety, that God wants to meet us and reach us. That's what his Adventus is, his arrival into our messes. And one of the ways that God arrives in our lives and helps us with the mess of life is through the sacrament of reconciliation, otherwise known as penance or confession. And Advent is an opportune time to welcome the arrival of God into our lives through that sacrament. God's holy word that we have just listened to this morning presented many vivid images to us. The prophet Baruch said that God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low, and the age-old depths and gorges filled to level ground. Quoting the prophet Isaiah, St. Luke says of John the Baptist's ministry, prepare the way of the Lord. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill made low. A few years back, I had the opportunity to visit the Grand Canyon on a trip out west. You look at the Grand Canyon, you can't even see the whole thing. It's a giant hole in the ground. How could that possibly be filled in? Whenever I would drive to the seminary in Emmitsburg, you drive out Route 15 and you start seeing the Catoctin Mountains on the horizon. And they stand out, especially against all the flat farmland. You look at those mountains. How could those mountains possibly be made level? It seems impossible. Likewise, when we stare at the immensity of our sins, it seems like that mountain. How could it possibly be made level? When we stare at the things that we have failed to do in our lives, let's look at those gorges. How could they possibly be filled in? But the good news is that God loves us right as we are right now, in this very moment. But he doesn't want us to stay there. He loves us too much to leave us where we are. And St. Paul, today in the second reading from the letter to the Philippians, said, "The one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." God began a good work in us on the day of our baptisms, when he adopted us as his sons and daughters, where he gave us the life of grace. And he began that work that day. But it was work. There's more to be done. If you look at a baby when they're 1 year old, you wouldn't expect that baby to look exactly the same when they're 21 years old. There's change, development, growth. So the same should be in our spiritual lives, our lives of faith. There should be continual growth and development so that God can complete that work, something that we are undergoing. But we as human beings live with the effects of original sin. We make bad choices. We freely do what we know we shouldn't. We fail to do other things. And we call these sins. And they impede our spiritual growth. They stand in the way of grace. They mar the image of God in us. God wants us, as St. Paul said, to be pure and blameless and filled with righteousness. And the messiness of our lives can sometimes be a direct result of our sins. Because when we sin, we let the devil in. We let him in to trick us, to wreak havoc on us. We can fall then into the pattern of committing habitual sins over and over. And the gravity of our sin can grow. It can increase. John was sent as a messenger in the desert to prepare the way of the Lord. And by confessing our sins, we announce that we want Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. And that sends the devil fleeing. It sends him running so that God can complete the good work that he began in each and every one of us. So as we talk today about the sacrament of confession, I want to ask a question. A question you may have asked yourself or heard other people ask it. Why confess our sins to a priest? Why not just tell God directly? Well, of course, we should always be telling God that we're sorry for our sins. It's good to say an act of contrition every night before you go to bed. That's a great spiritual practice. But do you know Jesus himself commissioned forgiveness of sins through the apostles? On the night of Easter, Jesus breathed on his disciples and he said, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." That presumes that someone is listening, that you have told someone else your sins. All of our sacraments are mediated. Notice when you come up to communion, you don't take communion for yourself. You receive communion. It is given to you. It is mediated to you. Likewise, forgiveness of sin is given to us. I can't forgive my own sins. As much as I wish I could, I can't look in the mirror and absolve my own sins. I have to go to confession to another priest because that forgiveness needs to be mediated to me, given to me. And the sacraments are always personal encounters with Christ. The priest in confession is not just another human being. He's one who acts in the person of Christ. In faith, we believe that when we speak to the priest, we're speaking to Christ. And that when the priest speaks to us, we believe that Jesus is speaking his words to us. So that when the priest says, "I absolve you of your sins," it's Jesus saying that. It's a real personal encounter with the Lord, an arrival of God in our lives. And then, of course, there's the personal touch of the sacrament, of being able to breathe forth all of those things that we hold inside of ourselves, bring them into the light so that we can receive counsel, we can receive penance, we can receive forgiveness. And it is through that act of confession that God tears down the mountains that we build up, the mountains of our sins. That God fills in the gorges and the valleys of our omissions. By the power of that sacrament, God gives us the graces that we need to work through the messes of our lives. To say, "I'm here, I'm with you, I've arrived." Some people, when they think about confession, they ask the question, "How do I know what to say? I don't even know what to do when I go into confession." So there's an insert in today's bulletin and also available online. It's on the yellow piece of paper with an examination of conscience. It asks questions based on the Ten Commandments to help us examine our lives since our last confession. I'd encourage you to take that sheet with you this week and to prayerfully consider it. Prayerfully consider where you need to tell God that you're sorry for the sins you've committed or failed to, good things you failed to do. And then when we go into confession, and by the way, if you don't know, here at St. Mark, our confessionals are in the chapel, which is right down the hallway here. When you go into the confessional, you can kneel down, so it could be anonymous, or you can sit right in front of the priest, and you simply make the sign of the cross. And tell him how long it's been since your last confession. 1 year, 5 years, 40 years. And then you say your sins, honestly, completely. Say them in number and in kind. This past Tuesday, we heard First Reconciliation for our children in the second grade. And First Reconciliation is one of my favorite events of the year. There's a little joke among the priests that hearing First Reconciliation is like being pelted with cotton balls. And it's a lot like that. But the sincerity of those young people's faith, they don't make excuses. They don't rationalize things away. They don't tell the sins of other people that cause them to commit their sins. And so we should be the same in confession. Honest. Forthcoming. God already knows what you're going to say, so you don't have to hide anything. Rather, you bring it all out into the light, and he shines his light on it and forgives it. Once we're done making our confession, we say the act of contrition. Now, this is the point where most people get really nervous. Am I going to remember my act of contrition? That's why it's written down on that yellow piece of paper in today's bulletin. It's literally hanging on the walls in the confessional. You can just read it right off the wall. Bring a piece of paper in with you. Make it as easy as possible. And then the priest will say some words of advice. He'll give you a penance. And then he will put his hand out over you and he will pray the prayer of absolution, the prayer by which Jesus forgives your sins. Tears down the mountains, fills in the gorges. And that then gives us the grace that we need to address our life's messes. There'll be some special times for confession coming up before Christmas on Wednesday, December 15th and Monday, December 20th from 3 to 5 and 7 to 8 p.m. We'll have a number of priests here. We will also have everyone's favorite priest, Father Visitor, who will probably not be known to you. We'll have at least one at every session. My friends, God wants to bring down the mountains and level the valleys in our lives. He wants to unravel the messes that we create by our sinfulness. And the sacrament of reconciliation is a true adventus, a true way that he comes to us. St. Luke, in the beginning of his gospel today, mentioned all of those names of those historical figures, some of whom we're familiar with: Caesar, Pontius Pilate, Herod. He wanted his readers to know that those events happened at a real point in time, at a real point in history. My friends, God wants to come to you at a real point in time, a real point in history, right now. And one of the ways he does that is in the sacrament of reconciliation. So I would encourage you, as the prayer said this morning at the beginning of Mass, to run out to go and meet the Lord.